Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the TCNS Clothing Company Limited Q4 and FY21 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anant Daga, Managing Director at TCNS Clothing Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Avaj. Good evening and welcome to our Q4 FY21 earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for the quarter and full year. I'm joined by Amit, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. First of all, I hope you and your near ones are safe and healthy. I'm sure that most of us have spent considerable time in the last few weeks containing the impact of the pandemic at both personal and professional levels. We have witnessed very strong grit of the people to overcome this unprecedented challenge. It's good to see the number of cases declining and the vaccination drive gaining momentum. Our collective effort will surely see us emerging stronger from this crisis. While Amit can share detailed financials, let me share some key highlights of Q4 and full year, our perspective on the emerging situation, and our approach on way forward. Our offline sales started off well in Q4, even with a consciously lower discounting than the market. However, due to the initiation of lockdowns and restricted operating hours in the second fortnight of March, the quarter got slightly impacted. A heartening aspect of this recovery was that the number of markets, especially a lot of tier two, three, four markets, recovered beyond or near pre-COVID numbers. This is strengthening our confidence in the robust nature of underlying demand. Another positive was on the offline side is that we completed the rationalization of MBO channel and restarted primary sales in MBO in February with the launch of SS21 range. There is a pause on that because of the March second half disruptions, but hope to build it once it's picked up. On the online side, our strategy of focusing on D2C started showing healthy results. Overall, online sales have more than doubled in Q4. D2C share of the marketplace grew 7x over last year, though on a very small base, but now it's contributing almost one-third of all third-party marketplace sales. We have been investing in our brand.com, and the resultant business has grown to about 2.5x, contributing in double digits to total online sales. This growth of online has been built on the back of world's best-in-class certified operations and fulfillment systems. As you would recall, at the beginning of the year, in light of COVID-19, we set out a five-pronged approach for FY21. Preserving the balance sheet strength was the primary focus while retaining the ability to scale up as needed. We intended to focus on controlling costs, conserving cash, engaging our consumers, building organizational resilience, and seizing potential opportunities. Let me share a quick update on some of the key achievements in these areas. To start with, on the primary focus area of cash conservation, we are happy to share that we have been cash accretive since Q3 and have closed the year with higher cash reserves of 182 crores versus the opening cash reserve of 171 crores. This is in addition to unutilized bank limits. A continued strong balance sheet, despite the adverse market conditions, sets us up well to tap into the growth opportunities as the market comes back on track. On the cost reduction front, we are well ahead of our estimated savings across all key items. Our rental savings of 45%, salary savings of 23%, and overheads of 29% are all ahead of the stated targets that we have shared at the beginning of the year. This is despite investing in building key capabilities such as an integrated warehouse, a nimble supply chain for faster thought to shelves, and investing in new shares. Other focus areas for us were customer engagement, organizational resilience, and seizing growth opportunities. We have established capabilities to build a single view of inventory and leverage the same across sources to be showcased and sold to our consumers through all D2C delivery models and by the third-party channels. This is reflected in the accelerated online D2C growth, as mentioned earlier. On the offline side as well, we launched multiple direct-to-consumer initiatives such as virtual selling via video calls, chats, have been embedded as core offering for the convenience of consumers. Phase 1 of the automated inventory management system has been rolled out to optimize inventory across EBO and LFS point of sales using data science algorithms. This is a key project for us which will change the way we optimize, allocate and sell inventory across the value chain. As we all know, COVID second wave has significantly disrupted the business from middle of March 21. Most of the retail network was closed for large parts of April and May. The stores are unlocking gradually in various parts of the country. And as on date, we have around 60% of stores that are operational, although with stipulated restrictions. Our supply chain, which was disrupted in April and parts of May as well, is now approaching full normalcy. With reduction of cases, gradual unlocking in the country and increase in vaccinated populations, we expect meaningful levels of recovery by end of Q2 and onset of festive season. While being fully cognizant of the current market scenario, we believe we need to balance long-term growth opportunity with near-term challenges. We see a limited window to lock in long-term accretive real estate opportunities and are embarking on an accelerated store expansion plan and will target opening 60-plus net stores in 2022. We have already signed 30-plus stores which will open in Q2 and Q3. Strategically, we are adopting a two-pronged approach, Project Rise, which is upgrading our flagship stores across all key locations, and Project Bharat, which is entering into Tier 3, Tier 4 markets through franchise route. As you all would know, this year we have had a truncated EBO channel network, wherein we have been ruthlessly closing down stores, because of which, you know, overall recovery rates also have come down. But with addition of these stores, next quarter onwards, we should see a significant build-off. Even on LFS front, we should be able to add 200 to 250 doors, further strengthening our network. Online is expected to evolve at a fast pace and should see another year of robust growth for both brand.com and third-party marketplaces. Additional channels, newer business models, personalized digital marketing, and online-first product ranges are some of the initiatives which will drive this growth. We are also looking at the coming season to build on a new product initiative which have not seen a regular full season yet. Cash conservation will remain a key focus area, and we will again aim to add cash to balance sheet through a laser focus on working capital reduction and cost controls. Investment in capability building will further pick up pace with full rollout of automated inventory management system, setup of design incubation cell, and shortening top to shelf time. To summarize the direction, given the confidence gained from navigating to FY21, our focus shifts towards investing and building growth runways and key capabilities while continuing to manage the evolving demand scenario in the market. I will now request Amit to take you through key financial highlights for the quarter and the year.
Thanks, Anna. Good evening, everyone. We sincerely hope that you and your families are keeping safe. Let me share the update on our financial performance in FY21 Q4 and full year. Our Q4 revenue was ₹221 crores, which is marginally higher than our FY20 Q4 revenues of ₹219 crores. The quarter was disrupted post-mid-March with the emergence of second wave of COVID-19. Our gross margin for the quarter was 57.5%, similar to our last year gross margin of 57.9%. Q4 for us is typically a low margin quarter. As seen over the last few quarters, skewed channel mix and inventory dominancy on low sales base had an impact in Q4 as well, though the quantum of impact has reduced substantially. The company has generated positive EBITDA for the quarter of ₹41 crores versus last year's EBITDA of ₹4.3 crores. PBT for the quarter was ₹4.7 crores versus a loss of ₹36.5 crores last year. We delivered PAT in Q4 of ₹3.9 crores versus a loss of ₹23.8 crores last year. During the quarter, we closed 18 stores and opened new stores, taking the store count to 551 stores. Now let me take you through the full year performance for FY21. Our FY21 revenue was ₹635 crores versus ₹1149 crores last year. We incurred a PAT loss of rupees 56.4 crores in the year versus a profit of rupees 69.4 crores in FY20. As Anand mentioned, our key focus in FY21 was to maintain our balance sheet strength, which is reflected in the cash reserves of the company. We started the financial year FY21 with a cash reserves of rupees 171 crores and ended the year with a higher cash reserves of rupees 182 crores. This achievement was supported by cost reductions as well as release of cash from working capital. During the year, the company achieved significant savings on various cost heads. Store rental is a large cost item for us, and here we achieved savings of roughly 45% in the year. Savings in employee cost and other overheads were 23% and 29% respectively. Overall savings on the total cost item was to the tune of 30% plus. Thank you. We are now open to questions. Since we are the only listed entity in our segment, we might not be able to share granular details that could be competitive information, but request your understanding of the same.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Hi, Anand sir. Good evening, first of all.
Yeah, hi, Nihal.
Two questions from my side. First is, if I look at your performance on the top line side, while you do allude to that the last 15 days had the impact of COVID, but even if you break it into the first 75 and the last 15 days, I was just expecting that maybe the recovery or the growth would have been better off, considering that the impact in the last 15 days of last year was much adverse than the last 15 days of this month. So if you could just give a little more color in terms of that bifurcation, or in general in terms of how the recovery stand out, that would be helpful. And just adding to that, even if I look at it channel-wise growth, what I do notice is that the maximum impact has come on the EBO channel. And here also, I think the closures be more than what we were initially guiding. If you could just address that, then I'll come to my next question, please.
Sure, Nihal, a very fair question. So I think part of that, you have it's been as per your understanding. So if you look at EBO, our network was really truncated. We closed about 40, 45 stores. And this is what I think from day one we were guiding. Unfortunately, there were a lot of rental negotiations which kept lingering on. So we never could get a perfect hold on how many stores would finally get shut. But I think that created a big impact as far as, EBO overall recovery goes. In terms of like-to-like store sales recovery, we were about, 90 to 93%, and not materially different from LFS also. So same store sales recovery was in track online. It was impact of, truncated store network. So that's one. Second, if you look at the secondary sales, there are channels like MBO and all where we did meaningful secondary sales, consumer sales, but we still didn't do any primary sales. So there's minuscule primary sales. So on primary basis, the recovery looks slightly lower. But if you take actual consumer secondary recovery, that obviously was higher. So these were two key reasons. And third, if you look at break it to quarter wise, generally we were very conscious about lower discounting, and hence obviously our sales recovery was slightly lower because we were focused on containing discount, and to that extent we have been able to contain discount very, very effectively compared to market and our previous performances as well. Our post-USS recovery was, in fact, it was tracking very close to almost 90-95% of normal levels for most of the Tier 2, Tier 3 markets. In Tier 1 also, we started crossing 75-80 across major markets. But last 15 days, especially with Holi being in it, it got impacted more than what we thought. So these were some of the reasons, key reasons, why, our recovery could have been better but got impacted.
Sure. If I may ask, for the first 75 days of this quarter, what was the recovery like?
So, Nihal, we won't like to give much general details, but I'm just saying post-USS, which is, mid-Feb onwards till mid-March, we were tracking, our same-store sales were tracking almost, 90% plus against pre-COVID levels for most of the part, except airport stores in one or two big cities.
That's helpful. Just one more question from my side. Now, I know Amit mentioned that Q4 is traditionally a quarter where you do lower margins than entering season in the past also. But I think one of the key drivers this quarter was that we were launching a fresh collection in SS21. If, as you alluded to the fact that there was a much higher share of sales from that coming in, was it not that our margins this quarter should have been similar to our earlier levels in a pre-COVID that was in excess of 60-62%? Just if you could highlight your thoughts on that and we'll be doing that.
Well, yeah, so typically what happens is new season gets launched in mid-Feb. And the full price season sale typically is second to third week of February till end of March. So in fact, it was the full price season which got more impacted rather than the old season merchandise. So does that explain? And second thing, when you look at gross margin, there is two impacts. One is the impact of, you know, channel mix. So our online was still higher than the normal levels. And online, we have always discussed in past also that the gross margin level, there's an impact because that's how the channel is structured in terms of cost and revenue recognition. While at the bottom line, it all evens out, but a higher online share will always have an impact on gross margin, though not on PBT levels. So that was the bigger reason for Q4.
That's helpful, Anand. I'll come back in the queue if I have further questions.
Sure.
Thank you, Shana.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. So, Anand, as you mentioned about EBOs. Could you highlight, throw some light something on the NBO channels to make the family giving has been done?
Mr. Vikas, if you can just be closer to the handset, please.
I'm really sorry to interrupt, but we can't hear you very clearly.
Is it audible? Is it audible now?
Yes.
So, Anand, the point I was trying to ask is, how has been the NBO looking like from now here on, since the primary billing has also started? Is the pickup really good? And some color on it?
So, because there are two parts to how NBO is shipping. One, overall what's happening at the channel level. And second, where are we in our journey of rationalizing the channel? So, you know, before COVID wave 2, we had completely rationalized the channel. So, we were good to go. So, from a company perspective, I think that channel is ready. Having said that, overall, again, with the COVID wave 2 hitting, that channel is under some stress. So, broadly, the channel is under stress. But as far as our business with them goes, it's now streamlined. So, I don't think it will still be growing at a rate where, you know, it was pre-COVID because of overall stress. But at least from our perspective, this should now build much strongly than, you know, what we saw in last year or last to last second half. It will still take probably a couple of seasons more to come back to normalcy, but at least the gradient should be steep now.
Right. Understood. And you also talked about some of the initiatives of this automated inventory management systems and this integrated warehouse that we have started on. So, can you just throw light how much could be the expected benefits that we expect coming out of this new technology initiative?
So, see, while it's slightly difficult to exactly quantify this, but our conversations with people who have implemented this automated inventory management system, we could easily look at, you know, about 10 to 15% reduction in inventory stocking level at store level. So that is the benefit that should come. With integrated warehousing, see, there are two benefits. One is we are ready for new age D2C delivery models, which was not enabled in our earlier warehouses. So this is one. Second, we are also geared up for new categories, which again was not the case with old warehouse. And third, of course, there will be, you know, first of all, cost rationalization over longer periods because now we have put everything in one warehouse, which will run more efficiently. And second, it will help us, you know, reduce our time and effort in getting stocks connected throughout the country. So those are some of the benefits which will come out of this in terms of readiness for new channels, readiness in terms of cost saving, and third is better efficiencies.
Right. Understood. Thanks, Anand. I'll join back to the question queue. Thank you.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Garima Mishra from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. First question, you ended the year with roughly 551 EBOs. Could you give some more granular details as to what do you think this number could go up by in, say, the next couple of years? You did mention, Anant, I think in your opening remarks that you would take the franchisee route maybe to add more stores. So any sort of sense there? And in particular, from a brand strategy, do you think you will go aggressive on Elleven because you have four stores now? Do you think there's potential to be aggressive there and open a lot more stores and sort of ramp that brand up?
Garima, this year we'll be opening at least 60 net stores, out of which half of them we have already signed, and we are in process of signing more. So we see a very, very lucrative window. And now with, you know, having ruthlessly shut and completed our network last year, we are all set to go for an aggressive expansion. So 60 stores this year and at least a similar number next year, we can easily assume that on expansion part, number one. Coming to
Sorry, these are net, right, Anant? Net of closures.
Correct. So,
Okay.
See, there would be 15-20 regular closures, right?
Right.
So gross numbers would be slightly higher. Coming to Elleven, see, right now we were all set. In fact, we have signed another three stores for Elleven. But again, with COVID wave two, it has just gone on a pause, slightly some pause. So maybe we'll pick up the threads from September, October onwards. But Elleven, again, our plans are to open at least, you know, another 15 stores this fiscal and run a full-scale pilot for that, which we have not been able to do because we have taken an EBO route and that got really disrupted.
Okay. Understood. And what is the performance of the three or four stores you already have?
See, a couple of stores are showing good progress. A couple of stores are shut because of, you know, they were on high streets. We couldn't do enough marketing, and the sales anyways are slightly lower. I don't think it's fair to, you know, judge the performance of these stores because there have been hardly any marketing. The markets have been disrupted. Let me answer this question once we have at least 3 months of full-scale operations. So I think that would be a fair time to assess the impact of this channel once we have a pilot with the stores running properly over at least 3 to 4 months period. Yeah.
Okay. Understood. My next question was on this warehouse integration and D2C kind of a strategy that you are evolving. So how many more months for this process or progress rather to sort of take off and for you to actually complete the project?
Garima, if I understand you correctly, you are asking specifically about D2C initiatives?
Yes.
Or inventory, which one are you talking about? D2C?
No, so I want to know about both actually, because the warehousing bit, I think the D2C one will probably be more of an evolving thing. Yes, there will be some upfront sort of integration of stores, but it would remain evolving. But more so of the warehouse management, etc., the projects that you've undertaken, how far along are you towards completion of the same?
So warehouse, we should be in a position to completely integrate by November, provided there are no more disruptions. So our original target was about August, which has just got shifted to November. So by November, we'll have one consolidated warehouse up and running. In terms of automated inventory solution, the first part about allocation has already been rolled out. The second part on planning, again, is slated to get over by December, completely by December. So spring-summer 22 season will be fully on the new system, at least for brand W. For Aurelia, it might take one more season. So we are going brand-wise.
Okay. Understood. And lastly, I had.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please? A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kutty from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. The first question is a bit on the working capital side of it. While obviously, if you look at our revenue numbers, we've been fairly down, but we haven't seen a reduction in our overall working capital cycle, especially our debtor days. So just want to check on that part. Has that part of the debtor, which was largely because of the brand, has that kind of come off Any clarity on that if you could give, or what's the timeline for that?
Yeah, hi, this is Amit. I'll take this question. So, you know, if I start with the debtors part of it, so, you know, our quarter four sales is comparable to the last year's quarter four sales, right? And the debtors has come down by 10 crores while the sales have been similar. So, there we don't see a stress, you know, in any of the channels that we cater to. And so most of the amount is recoverable, and whatever is not recoverable, we have already provided for the same. If I move to the inventory part of it, larger part of this inventory is what we keep at the store. And the inventory that we hold on as of 31st of March is mostly in relation to our expectation of the kind of sales that we will be doing going forward. So in the month of March, we were ready to launch our spring summer merchandise entirely, and the inventory is in relation to that. Now, unfortunately, with almost 1.5-2 months getting impacted, a part of this inventory we are carrying forward to monsoon festive, but we don't see a stress there. Anand already mentioned in his call that our one of the key initiatives that we have laid out for FY22 is to further bring down our entire working capital levels, and inventory reduction will be a part of the major initiative.
Just a follow-up on this. So obviously, when you said that data you've largely provided for, but typically if you look at this number, which close to about close to 95 to 100 odd days kind of a number, what will be a more comfortable level for you as far as the data levels are concerned? Because you will start seeing the overall other brands starting to do well as the recovery kind of comes back on track. So what's a more steady state number for you as far as the data days are concerned?
Yeah, I think it can potentially come down to another 10-15 days in a really, really stable state scenario. But otherwise, we are fairly optimized on our debtor days already. So the potential is maximum to bring it on by another 10 days, 15 days by a stretched imagination.
On a steady sales basis, yeah.
Okay. And the same thing for inventory also, what will be a more steady state level as far as inventory days are concerned?
Yeah, I think, you know, let's comment on the total working capital days. Our stated goal is that we want to bring down our inventory, which used to be around 120 days. Not inventory, the entire working capital, which used to be around 120 days, we want to reduce it to 105 days in the short term, and probably a double digit number in the long term.
105 in the short term and double digit in the long term. Okay. Also, just one last question if I could actually ask. In terms of channel wise, I'm sorry if you just made a comment on that. How does the channel wise growth look like at this point of time? Also, in terms of EBOs, if you could probably. You've seen a lot of EBOs getting signed up in this particular quarter as well. So what's the target on that front from the next couple of years perspective?
Online should keep growing at a healthy rate. As a company, we are already sitting on a consistently higher base than most of the fashion brands, and we ourselves are pushing this agenda very, very hard. So online should be the highest growth channel. And we will probably, obviously, it will recover, and then the growth might be on the lower end. EBO and LFS should go hand in hand, with EBO being slightly ahead than LFS in the short term, because, you know, we are again building the base. So that's how we see next 2 to 3 years in terms of growth.
Sure. What's the share of online right now? Do you share that?
Yeah. It's about 20. For the full year, it's been about 28% odd, and for quarter four, it's about a share over 20%. So 21-22%.
And growing,
Mr. Kuti.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushmit Patodia from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, and hope everyone is safe and the CNS family. My first question, Anant, is you know, you saw a differential in growth rate between W and Aurelia, so. Is that pointing towards more occasion wear? Is that some behavior that you see? And if you can just talk towards that.
No, so as Ismet, I think when we are looking and comparing growth this season and recovery, not only within, you know, an ethnic wear company, but in the apparel industry overall, we need to take into account different categories and different channel and geography mix. Because this time, the recovery has not been very, very, you know, homogeneous. So, for example, there are a few categories which have done better. There are few geographies and channels which have done better because of the COVID impact. Nothing to do with anything, you know, any other macro environment. So, if you look at Aurelia and W also, the biggest difference is the channel mix and the geographic spread. So Aurelia usually does is very thick with all the value format retailers, wherein W is with more departmental store, and the performance difference has been markedly different between the two. Similarly, in EBO, the higher number of stores shut, and high-impact stores were in W than Aurelia. So obviously, there is a difference of this channel and geography mix and partners mix, which has made, you know, Aurelia grow faster. Having said that, there's some impact also of the fact that Aurelia probably made more day wear, more easy to products than, you know, any other ethnic wear brand. And as a result, in the market, not only against W, but I think if you do your channel check, probably Aurelia will emerge as the best performing ethnic brand across. So that benefit was there, but a large part also came because of channel and geography.
Okay. And my second question, Anant, is, you know, your this whole rental and concession, so it gets a little confusing. What is the outlook towards rental expense for the next 2 years? Because a lot of the concessions will be rolled back. Plus you will have extra cost of the 60 stores that you're opening. So if you can just help us understand this a little bit, please.
So typically, Sushmit, our rental base to start the year would be about 130 to 140 crore. I can come back with a more precise number later. So that's the base. And now, depending upon concessions, it will fall somewhere. So last year, we saved about 45%. And this year, we'll see how the negotiation goes. Now, this is the starting point, and the more EBOs that we open, obviously, this will get added to.
And lastly, just on the cash flows, Anant, if I may, I'm sorry, any of you can take the question. The outflow on account of lease liabilities is flat Y-on-Y. So where does the concession get adjusted? It's only on the rent line item, is it? Is that how it works, the accounting?
Sorry, can you repeat that question again, please?
So if you look at cash flow from financing activities, payment on account of lease liabilities is flat, minus 100 crores, minus 100 crores. So I'm just wondering how the concessions get accounted in the cash flow statement.
Yeah, so essentially, you know, the cash flow that you are looking at is on the basis of the lease payment. So what we did was that while we had accounted for the savings throughout the year of a significantly higher quantum, what we did towards the March end, and if you recollect, you know, the last year March end was fairly impacted quarter. So we deferred some part of the cash flows into the current year. Right, and while we have accounted for you know, the entire savings in the current year, you know, there have been some lease payments which pertain to the leases that we have signed fresh in the last quarter and the current quarter. So I can get back to you with exact specific details of how much of it was pertaining to the last year that we paid in the current year, but broadly.
Got it. Okay.
So Sushil, maybe we can do a head call later to just explain this more in detail. So that,
please. Sure. Thank you and all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Most of my questions have already been answered. Anant, you know, just two questions. You know, first is on large format stores. So as we say that, you know, we have added 58 store count on this channel, and over last 2 years we have done kind of 500 you know, store addition on large format store front. So while we don't see, and of course as per your commentary, EBOs are likely to grow at a higher rate compared to large format store. So I mean, how do you explain this aggressive store addition on large format store front, whereas on revenue growth front we are slightly moderate in terms of guidance?
No, so I think what we are referring it to past, so even in future, we believe this year also we'll end up opening at least 200-250 doors. Tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 expansion. In the per store turnover might not be as high. Second, when I talk about EBOs, this was not a normal year. We were never so aggressively shut down our stores because, you know, see, why did we shut our stores? First, we didn't get proper rental deals, and our stores are, you know, they're smaller stores. Most of their written down asset value was very low. So we always had a chance of upgrading it. So now on a truncated base, over the next 2 years, the rate of expansion that you will see in EBOs could be far higher. And that's the reason why I said maybe, you know, you'll see a slightly higher growth. But having said that, see, it's an interplay. Few of the LFS might also get very aggressive and we might open more doors and, you know, do better throughput. So they'll go hand in hand. I just feel that, you know, next 2 years, EBO growth could be potentially high.
Sure. And lastly, on Aurelia, you know, and versus W. So, for example, this quarter, Aurelia grew at 11%, whereas there was a decline in the W growth. I understand you mentioned about a difference in the channel, I mean, the presence, as well as the category in which it operates. But overall, you think that this value trend is likely to persist for maybe minimum, I mean, of course, we are targeting 70% kind of vaccination till December. So for next 2 to 3 quarters, you expect Aurelia to grow at a higher rate compared to W?
See, there are two differences, and let me just call those out. One is, last time when we saw the recovery happening, there was a big lag in tier 1 versus tier 2 versus tier 3. This time, at least the first 14 days data doesn't show that big a lag. So we are very surprised with, you know, some of the cities like Pune and Mumbai and Delhi rebounding better. So one, I don't know whether that will play or not. It's not a question of value retailer versus departmental store or, you know, more premium location. It is just about where the unlocking has happened and where the consumers have come back. Last year in COVID, tier 3, tier 4 were not impacted at all. This year they are impacted. So I am not very sure whether, you know, that trend will continue. So that's one part. It's not about just about, you know, value product versus premium product. It's also about where unlocking is happening and what channels are firing. So that's what. Second, you know, structurally, I think Aurelia will keep growing faster than W because first, it's on a smaller base. Second, we see a huge, huge upside for this because we have not done full-scale marketing very meaningfully over a longer period of time. So, you know, we have some plans around Aurelia marketing and Aurelia brand building. And I hope that will give us additional fillip in times to come. So we also internally, our strategy is also to grow Aurelia based on, you know, intensive brand building, better presence. So that's just something which will happen. This should happen.
Sorry, Anant. I mean, my question was primarily that, you know, for similar kind of product, for example, if we say that Aurelia is the... available at a relatively lower price point compared to W as a brand. So, of course, you know, I'm referring to this from price point perspective and not from channel wise perspective. So my question is primarily that we expect, of course, overall we see that value focused brands and products are growing at a faster rate. Therefore, do you think that your this very brand is likely to grow at a higher rate, assuming that all the channels are allowed to operate?
No, so what we have seen is, see, our brands are not matured brands yet. So all these brands have a lot of headroom to grow. Maybe value retail will grow slightly faster than other retail, so there could be that data. But what I was trying to explain was, you know, apart from that, the fact that, you know, Aurelia has not been exposed to a full-scale brand building and it's still slightly more in nascent state, obviously the growth would be more.
So thank you very much. That answers my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So in our previous calls, we had communicated that we were carrying a lot of SS20 stock with us because of the first COVID wave. And we were supposed to dispose a bulk of that in say Jan to March 2021, which is the just gone by quarter. So, and we had also previously mentioned that around 20 to 25% of our earlier inventory that we were carrying were stocks that we were carrying from SS20. So if you could give a number on what is the current percentage of SS20 stock that we are carrying in our current inventory.
See, I don't have that general detail right now, and frankly, 90% plus inventories that we carry are season, 3 seasons and more current, and that is what we track and we share. So there it is. And second, you are right. We shared last time that, you know, we are carrying significant merchandise from SS20 to SS21 and not using it in MS20. And that's the reason, you know, if you look at the inventory levels in September, it was higher than March. And when you look at this March, we've been able to downsource about 15% of that inventory, which was as what we communicated, I believe, in earlier calls also. That's how we had planned the things.
You said it's lower than 15% now.
Yeah. So it went up to, I believe, about 335 odd crores, and down it came down to about 280 crores. So some around that.
Okay.
Right. And this is what I think we communicated in earlier calls. So this is how we planned our season merchandise.
And how much of your stock would be more than a year old now?
So we typically look at three seasons. So beyond that would be about, you know, 10-odd% probably.
10-odd%. And three seasons means it's beyond 1 year. Is that understanding correct?
Because in apparel, you have to go by season. Financial cuts don't make sense. So depending upon which month of the season you are in, it could be 12 months or 15 months. Yeah.
Okay. And, sir, could you share the dormancy provisions that we did for Q4 FY21?
We don't typically share our dormancy provision, but we have a standard dormancy policy which we have been using for a very long period of time. And we have been mentioning that, you know, the dormancy hit on every quarter is fairly standard. Unfortunately, what happened in the quarter one, quarter two of the current year was that the sales base was low, and the hit that we take on dormancy got exaggerated because of that particular fact, right? But otherwise, you know, the only point that we can share at this moment is that the dormancy policy is fairly aggressive, and that has been consistently followed.
Okay. So I think in Q3 FY21, it was around 4% of sales. So is it fair to assume that it was probably a similar number in Q4 FY21?
See, you know, we typically provide dormancy by looking at the aging. And like Anand was mentioning, 90% of the stock typically that we carry is less than 3 months, less than three seasons old. So, and the dormancy is not a hit as a percentage of sales, right? It is an absolute amount that we provide on the inventory that we carry. Now, that absolute hit that we take on the dormancy, depending on what sales we have done in the quarter, could be a higher percentage or could be a lower percentage.
Okay. Fine. And sir, if I look at your gross margins quarter on quarter, despite the larger contribution coming from online and other channels remaining the same, but our gross margins have, even on a quarter on quarter basis, have contracted by almost 3 percentage points. So, I mean, has the industry seen extreme discounting or lowering of price point because they want to clear off inventories? Or if you could maybe give your thoughts on that.
So I think Amit just explained some time back. See, when you look at gross margins, you'll have to see the quarterly play into it. Typically, Q4 is a lower gross margin quarter for us. If you compare it with last year, normalized basis, I think the gap between the years has really come down over each quarter. And that's what we mentioned in the first call itself, that as the channel mix continues to get back to normalcy, and as the sales base comes back to the original numbers, this gap should reduce because there's no structural change out there, except for the fact that a slightly more shift towards online will reduce the gross margins because that's the way the cost structure of that channel is set up. So that's the difference. I think, in fact, you know, in Q4, our gap has reduced versus last year. And if the sales were slightly higher, probably it would have inched even further.
And sir, on an absolute basis.
Mr. Chaudhary?
Yeah, just one last question. This is an important one.
Sorry to interrupt, but we have many follow-up questions. I mean, many participants in the queue waiting for their turn, sir.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaishnavi Mandhaniya from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on the cost savings that we saw in this year, right, so how much do we expect going forward as well? So probably like the next year, how much cost saving do we expect versus FY20?
So, Vaishnavi, there are a few parts to this. First, you see a lot of cost savings are related to sales turnover. And as the sales turnover comes back, you know, that will get adjusted. So depending upon sales, it will move. In terms of overhead, we think if you look at FY20 base, we should be able to save about, 10 to 20%, somewhere in that range, 10 to 20% odd. In terms of ERP, one should not take too much saving because we have reset salaries and we are building new capabilities, we are missing people. In terms of rental, it's slightly early to comment because, all the discussions have just started with the unlocking of stores. But our attempt would be to have it mirror our sales as much as possible. So last year we got a very, very good response. This year it's slightly more tricky because, there's no single lockdown. There are truncated timings. There are all kind of restrictions. So the conversations are on and maybe, in the next call we might be in a better position to share slightly, even back to a range. Right now it's just too early.
Okay, and second question is again on the gross margin front, right? So historically, obviously, we had a much higher gross margin of 60% plus sort of a number. So with the channel mix changing and probably Aurelia growing faster and, taking all of these things into account, so how do we see our gross margin moving forward? Let's say leave FY22 out. Beyond that, how do we see our gross margin number moving?
If you look at gross margins, I think, Aurelia Tableau won't make much difference because we have healthy gross margin profile across. In terms of channels, the only impact would be on online. And online, again, I just want to reiterate this point because the way online cost structures are, it will impact gross margins. Now, again, if the share becomes from 20 to 25, 30, then there would be a gradual drop. So it would be, say, about few basis points, depending upon the kind of movement to online happens. Having said that, there are no other major costs like staff, rent and all. So in terms of bottom line, online will end up making reasonable margins at any other channel. So there should not be any impact there. Now, it's very difficult to, give a range of gross margin because it will all depend upon the kind of share online will have. On any other parameter like pricing, costing, we are good on gross margin. So we don't see a challenge otherwise.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anant. Hope everything is good at your end. Thanks for this opportunity. I just had two questions. One, I just wanted to clarify on this integrated warehouse bit. Does this mean that
Mr. Mehta,
go to...
request to please stay connected. We lost the line for the management. Requesting all the participants to please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you. Mr. Mehta, you may proceed with your question.
Hi, Anant. Hope all well at your end. I had a clarification on the warehousing question, warehousing bit. Now, if my understanding is correct, we are essentially looking to set up a single large integrated warehouse by November. Does this expose us to higher freight costs? And secondly, related one, does this make express production less important versus earlier since all the inventory is consolidated?
No, hi, Avi. Trust all good at your end as well. So, see, this warehouse doesn't do any harm to any of these projects because, see, we are talking about faster turnaround. And this warehouse, again, is in Patodi. So it's very close to, where our existing warehouses are. So in terms of either, express production or anything, it doesn't, frankly, take away anything from these initiatives.
Oh, okay. Because I was essentially coming, because you have a consolidated view of the inventory, the expectation earlier was that you need faster turns for in production. That is no longer required. That doesn't happen.
No. Sorry, Avi. That is on the production side. So see, a warehouse, and see, whether we have three warehouses in NCR or one, I don't think that will impact that because see, these are different functions within the warehouse which are being handled. So there is no implication in terms of timelines and all. In fact, this will give us even better visibility and higher capability to cater to D2C channels. Wherein we see some lag even today.
Perfect. The second bit was essentially related to the online bit. Now, if we are kind of moving, we are seeing increased share of online. Do you think it any way exposes brands to being perceived as more discounted brands? Because that's a large ethos of the online space, or and how do you seek to kind of counter that?
So now see, these are early days, Avi, but one very interesting trend that we saw in the lockdown and last 1 year of COVID impacted business environment, our full price sales is also increasing, at least on our website. From being a mid-single digit number, it has already crossed a double digit number. So that's one. Second, you know, it's all very contextual. So we are again not heavy discounters compared to many other you know, brands or labels. So it's still contextual. And I think over time, this is a channel where consumers are coming. Consumers also differentiate between what is the fresh season, what is earlier season. So overall, I think a huge potential to grow full price business out here. Second, also to give differentiated ranges. So in fact, there are a lot of differentiated ranges also, which might not essentially be sold at very high discount. So all these we are trying to build. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a consumer's choice. Where consumer wants to shop, they will shop. And I think as a brand, we need to cater to that in the best possible manner.
But Anand, what I'm saying is, would you then look at percentage discount not being offered? I mean, I'm just trying to look, you know, basically this is always an always problem, you know, kind of managing discount levels, because you highlighted gross margins are lower in online, versus managing the brand that, you know, you essentially want to do a lot more SPAs and, you know, make the brand look premium. So I just wanted to understand, how do we manage that, or how do we kind of manage these two twin opposing goals to some extent?
Yeah, so if you look at gross margins and if you look at profitability, obviously the discount in online is slightly higher than offline, but then there are many other costs which gets negated. So overall,
no, EBITDA, I am agreeing with you, but I'm looking from a consumer perception, because
yeah,
the person is discounted.
I'm just coming to that, Avi. So from a consumer perspective, see, this is a channel where best of the brands also are sold on discount, but they're discounting old season merchandise. So we are no way discounting our fresh merchandise. We are creating some online first ranges which will be sold at lower discounting than the market discounting. So idea is to create more relevant products there, wherein discounting can also be controlled. At the same time, that's a different kind of consumer who we are reaching to. So I think in context to the broader market, given the fact that we are among the highest full price sale and lower discounting brands in the online space, I think we have a similar standing there as we would have in offline versus other brands.
Perfect, Anand. This helps clarify everything. Thanks a lot. I have some few questions, but I'll come back later in the queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Chhoda from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had two questions, sir. One was regarding your CAPEX. Like, what is our planned CAPEX for FY22 and FY23? And what would be our CAPEX on the warehouse front? This is my first question.
Typically, you know, for FY22, let me comment first. So there are three larger initiatives where we are going to invest in FY22. One is, as Anand mentioned, we intend to open a net of 60 stores. A part of it will be franchisee-led expansion. So there we don't incur any CAPEX. But for the balance, we would typically incur a CAPEX of 25 to 30 lakh rupees per store. I think that amount itself will be about 15 or so. The second is the initiative around the warehouse, where in total, the total CAPEX that will go into the new warehouse that we're talking about, it will be in the range of 8 to 10 CR. And third is this, you know, software, the inventory management software, which will take another 5 CR of CAPEX. So that's broadly where what we are going to invest in FY22. FY23, I think, could be a similar kind of a number on the storefront. And we typically keep on investing into other initiatives on the IT front as well. So you may assume a similar number for FY23 as well.
About 25 odd crores, 25, 30 odd crores each year.
Okay. And sir, looking at this post-rationalization of the EBO and MBO, can we target a margin of around 15% if you look at pre-Ind AS margin?
Sir, can you come again, please?
The post rationalization of EBO and MBO, can we target a 15% plus margin on pre-Ind AS basis?
You are talking about
15% margin. See, it's very early to comment. See, we have been mentioning that, you know, structurally there is no change in the business from a product costing to a channel margin perspective. Nothing has changed, right? So once we are back to our pre-COVID sales, typically we should be able to maintain a similar kind of a contribution. Obviously, some costs have gone up over the last 2-3 years. So proportionate growth will be needed for us to deliver net margins that we used to deliver in FY19 and earlier.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot for answering the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Anant. Thanks for the opportunity. So our online inventory share at platforms like Myntra is relatively higher compared to peers. So is this a result of our investments in this channel and better fulfillment capabilities, or we should not read much into it?
Sorry, could you please come again? You mentioned something with Myntra, right? Sorry, there's some disturbance in the line this side.
Yeah, so I was looking at online inventory share of you and peers at online websites like Myntra. So I found that it is relatively higher compared to them. So is this a result of our investments in this channel and better fulfillment capabilities?
So you are referring to more number of sites in there on Myntra? Is that what you are referring to? Okay. See, usually what happens is there are two things. One, of course, we have a deeper relationship with them and we are among the highest selling brands, so our collection would be right. Second, also what happens is most of the times the styles that sell better or the brands that sell better, they also buy in a lot more and display it better. So maybe this could be a result of these two efforts. Having said that, we have obviously consciously been making efforts to enhance both our collection and deep depths and widths of our product ranges, so that should show on all these sites, especially places like Myntra, which is more on fashion and slightly less on discount compared to some of the other horizontal players.
Okay, and secondly, do these B2C partnerships versus B2B earlier, do they also help controlling the discount levels on online channels?
Yes, so it does help in controlling discount and also helps in displaying a wider catalog to our customers. So both these places, the brands benefit.
So with increasing share, the online gross margins at least should be on an improving trend.
Yeah, so in terms of gross margin, there will be two positives that should come. One is higher share of full price, at least on our own website. And second is higher share of some of these models. Yes.
Okay. Lastly, my second question is on selling and distribution expenses. Even when we look at them as percentage of LFS revenues, these have risen significantly in this year. So how should we read this and any guidance on this front going ahead?
So see, some of the part of online expenses, see, online doesn't have rent, ERC and all, but some of the part also sits in selling and distribution. So with the increase of our own website and all, obviously some of those costs are going up. So it's not just the LFS effect. And in fact, in LFS and all, our S&D has been slightly lower because on back of lower discounting in last year.
Okay, sorry, I want to understand it better. So I thought online is represented net of everything in your sales.
So our own website, there are some expenses which falls below that. So in S&D. So maybe, you know, offline we can discuss slightly more and just give you a view of how it's constructed. But your point is very valid. I think it's a great observation. Yeah.
Sure, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anant Daga for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. We take this opportunity to all of you to thank all of you for joining the call. We hope we have been able to address most of your queries. For any further information, please do get in touch with us or SGA. Have a nice evening. Take care and stay safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of TCNS Clothing Company Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.